Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, and got an interesting show for you today, I think. Before we get into our topic, I do want to tell you, I have a story. It's a story of horror, badness, but also a story of joy and entertainment. It'll be the story of the life of Creighton. Now, before I get into that, I do want to share with everyone something you need to see if you have access to Netflix. During the week, this week, I got to binge watch with me son a very nice little series that's begun. It's a Netflix production called Stranger Things. And, oh, man, was that a joy to watch. I was thinking about doing today's show about Stranger Things, but I really didn't feel I could go on for a half an hour or longer discussing it because, number one, I haven't done enough research on it, and number two, it's just begun, and I want to give people a chance to see it before we get into talking about it, but it's neat. If you're a product of the 60s, 70s, or even the 80s, I think especially you'll like it. I won't be a spoiler of any sort, but I will tell you that it has Stephen King-ish elements. It almost feels like a Spielberg-directed picture. And yes, there's even a flavor of John Carpenter all mixed in, and it's really entertaining. There's not any real big names in it. Winona Ryder seems to be the only known or widely known actor or actress in the series. But yet the people they pick for their roles are very well picked and very well played. So if you get the opportunity and you have Netflix, you've got to give Stranger Things a chance. There's eight episodes to this first season. I'm assuming there'll be future seasons. I haven't really dug in and checked yet. So check out Stranger Things on Netflix. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. It was February 10th in 2006 when Francis Cleveland Creighton Cheney went into labor prematurely. And unfortunately, her child was stillborn. However, Leonidas Frank Cheney, after the doctor tried reviving the baby, thought quickly, grabbed his infant son out back to an icy lake behind the property and dipped his child in the icy lake, which shocked him into life. That is the beginning of the story of Lon Cheney Jr. Now, Lon admitted over the course of his life that he had a very, very tough childhood. Cleva, you know, Frances Cleveland Creighton Cheney, his mother, was a singing stage performer and a very troubled young lady. When Lon was about seven, she tried to commit suicide by taking a poison. The suicide attempt failed, but it destroyed her singing career. That and other problems created a divorce with Lon Cheney and Mrs. Cheney. Now, Lon Cheney Sr. did want to try to bring up his son on his own, but he had so much going on in his personal career, playing various roles as the Man of a Thousand Faces, he later became known. He put his son into foster care and boarding schools so that he could finish his education. Now, Lon Sr. did not want Creighton to get into acting at all. He just did not want him to. And unfortunately, Lon Chaney Sr., just at the beginning of the talking era of films, died very young at the age of 47 in August of 1930 from throat cancer. Now, Creighton did have a career, but he always did want to act. As early as 1922, a part of him was in a movie. His hand was an uncredited role in a movie called The Trap. I believe it was 1922, excuse me. And he did play in a lot of films, mostly westerns, during the early 30s. Now, for the first 3 or 5 years, he insisted on being billed as Creighton Chaney. One of the various studios he worked for and kept pressing him to change his name to Lon Chaney Jr. And he didn't feel it was right. He never wanted to do that. But eventually he caved in. He felt that he wanted to earn as much as he could for his family since he was moving his career into acting. And he thought, well, as much as that's important to me, after his father's a few years after his father's passing, he finally agreed to use the name Lon Chaney Jr. Now, again, Lon played in many films in the 30s, often uncredited, often credited as Creighton. And it wasn't until 1939 that he got his big break. He auditioned for a stage version of the of Mice and Men as the character Lenny Small, and did so well and was so convincing he was picked for the film with Burgess, that also starred Burgess Meredith. the film was so popular, I even remember references in Warner Brothers cartoons where they mimicked Chaney's character, Lenny, when they played someone who was not exactly the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. And how could we ever forget that famous, famous line?
Go on, George. Tell about the rabbits and how I get to tend them.
And that was Lon Chaney Jr. as Lenny Small in Of Mice and Men. Again, that characterization was used many, many times in comedy references and so forth. Now, shortly thereafter, that film was released in 1939, Lon got the opportunity to play Akoba, a caveman, in the original 1 Million B.C., and that was in 1940. Later that year, he'd make his first horror appearance in a not-so-well-known film called Man-Made Monster, as Dynamo Dan McCormick, a fellow who survived a bus crash. He was a carnival performer who would do tricks with electricity, shocking himself and not getting hurt. Well, something happened in the accident, and not to be a spoiler, but he becomes the man-made monster. That is a very, very good film if you get a chance to see that one and you haven't. It's not shown that often. It's got a very nice cast. Lionel Atwill plays sort of an evil doctor. It's got Lon Chaney Jr., Ann Nagle, Frank Albertson. It's a neat picture, and something I like about it is there's a dog in the film that plays something of a role in there, and I think it becomes evident that Lon Chaney Jr. had a very fine fondness for dogs, which becomes important later in his life. Now, Man-Made Monster came out early in 1941. Later that year, his most popular role would be discovered as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman. Oh, there's another great film with a great cast. Claude Rains plays his father, and Lon, of course, as we know, is bitten by a wolf, played by Bela Lugosi in the film. So technically, Bela Lugosi was the original Wolfman. We also see, for the first time, Maria Ospenskaya as the gypsy woman, Maleva. And a woman who's somewhat important in Lon Chaney Jr.'s life was the most beautiful actress, I think, of the 1940s, Evelyn Ankers. Now, they had a pretty interesting dichotomy between the two of them. Some people say that they did not get along. It is well known that they bumped heads. And a lot of it has to do with Lon Chaney's Jr.'s drinking. He was friends with Broderick Crawford from the Highway Patrol TV series. And they were actually known as the monsters around Universal for some of the havoc they wreaked, sometimes on the set, sometimes during their off time. But Evelyn Ankers is quoted to have saying that Lon Chaney Jr. was a very, very sweet man and a very, very talented actor. It was just the alcohol, and she knew that. I liked her character, Gwen Conliff, in the film. There's almost an electricity between the two. I wonder if Lon Chaney hadn't been married, if something would have gone farther. Evelyn Ankers had an interesting career. She made about 32 films in the 40s, many in the horror genre. And she married Richard Denning. She eventually quit acting to be a housewife. And she was married to Richard Denning for the rest of her life. So that was kind of neat. That's an interesting little tidbit there. But, yeah, there's been a lot of talk that she didn't really care for him. I don't know that that's true. Lon Chaney Jr., as far as the horror genre, is the only actor that I know of that played the big four, that had the opportunity to play all four classic Universal monsters in the 40s. He played, obviously, the Wolfman. He did play the Mummy in about three different films in the 40s, The Mummy's Tomb, The Mummy's Ghost, and The Mummy's Curse. He, of course, played the Frankenstein monster in, I believe it was Ghost of Frankenstein. Check me on that, but he also played Son of Dracula. Now, that role came up in 1943, where he played Count Alucard, which later was found out to be Dracula backwards in the film. He's a backwards Dracula. Interesting. Might be the first time that I recall seeing him with a mustache. And he played it rather well. It's not certainly not my favorite rendition of Dracula, but a pretty good film. Chaney was, you know, not exactly a lady killer, but he was a handsome fella, and I think the attraction of Dracula was the way he lured in the women. We have a caller from the 707. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling Erie House.
Hey, Dale. What's up?
Is this the one and only?
It is.
Hi, 66.
Hi, how are you doing?
Long time.
I know, huh? Oh, but yeah. Creighton told Chaney, one of my favorite subjects, you know that.
Yes, I do, and I'm very glad you called. I was just getting into the portion of his career in the 40s where he's... Yeah, and
I like that one too. I like that, and it was set moody. It was very Val Lewton, don't you think? That movie.
Yeah. Which one, Son of Dracula?
One Alucard. You know when he was Count Alucard in the swamps.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we all love the Wolfman. But you know, that was his role alone. You know what I mean? He played everybody else, but they were all someone else's, and that was his. And it always meant a lot to me to see that one.
Yep.
But I've loved him. I've loved him ever since, like, you know, my favorite brunette. You know, have you seen that one? With Bob Hope, where he plays.
It's been a while, but I do
remember
that.
Pretty much a Lenny part, you know. The Lenny part from, you know, of Mice and Men, kind of like that, but at this crazy house. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just delightful. I love all his stuff.
Yeah. His last appearance as Larry Talbot was in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. And it was shortly thereafter. It's funny that you say that, 66, because after the Universal films, I mean, he did a few horror films here and there, but it seemed like his Western career returned. He would turn up all over the place.
He
did a lot of Western.
Usually the town drunk, and he was just living it, you know, which is sad.
Yeah,
but, you know, his life was so, you know, hey, he was stillborn. And his father, he was not going to pay a midwife. He was a tight bastard. He took him out and dunked him
another
in a frozen river. And
yeah,
he screamed.
Another
and,
thing
that,
that
brought him out of it.
That,
you
that
know,
may
and then
challenged.
And like, well, yeah, his mother hit the road, you know that. And, but his father, rather than pay somebody, and he had the money, rather than pay somebody to babysit him and watch him, he put him in an orphanage. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I could see the anger. I could feel it, you know. My God.
Well, here's another thing. I don't know if you know this, but it's also been said that Chaney Sr. told young Creighton at the time that his mother died, which she had not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cleva. Yeah, she ran off. I don't blame her, though. He was pretty brutal. You know, and he drank himself, too, you know, and he never trusted his own success, the senior, you know, the old man. And
he was definitely a driven
thing,
man.
That was pure, the studios wanting money to bank on the daddy's name, you know, and he never liked that. That never sat well with him because he was his own man. He tried to be.
Yep.
You know, and then the makeup part was out because then the unions were coming in because he was a pretty skilled makeup artist himself.
That's an interesting point that you made because in 1939, right around the time he was auditioning for Of Mice and Men, he wanted to recreate his father's role by also auditioning for The Hunchback of Notre Dame that later Charles Lawton
and he actually, you know,
won that role, and that's, they told him, no, you're not doing the makeup, there's unions and there'll be problems.
They won't allow you to. But he did it, and did you ever see the Route 66 one with him and Boris and Peter Lorre? And he appears in the Hunchback makeup.
It was Route 66.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did try to make him look a bit like his father.
They did. Yeah, and then he came in. He was all spooky, and it was his grandson.
Mm-hmm. He did a lot
really
of television
cute.
In
yeah,
the
you know.
Late 50s, early 60s. In addition to Route 66, he played. I hope I can pronounce this right. Chingachgook. In a show called Hawkeye and the Last of the Mohicans.
Yes. Yes, I remember that.
It was a recurring role. He was in that. He was in a few episodes of Climax. He hosted a show called 13 Demon Street. And, in fact, we will see some of those in the future on Eerie House TV.
Yeah. Little movies out of them. Yeah, that's the one where, you know, he plays the devil, I suppose, Lucifer.
Yes, and he's hosting that, he's the devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he visited the Red Skelton Hour a number of times. Did a lot of TV.
Yeah. He did.
We'll
did.
Also
he
get
really
to see Lon Chaney Jr. in, there is at least one public domain film he's in called The Indestructible Man. Oh, and also The Gorilla with, or Bride of the Gorilla, excuse me.
The Indestructible Man creeped me out more than any role he did, though. That one when I was so young, and it just scared me.
Did it really?
It did, because he came back from the dead, and he just couldn't be killed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the idea was... Yeah.
Just don't cross him, I guess.
I had to laugh in 1959 when he did the alligator people. I'll kill you, alligator man! It wasn't the best Cajun accent in the world.
No, it wasn't. No.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of TV. He was, and again, he played in a lot of westerns. He was in Zane Grey Theater. He appeared a couple times on Wagon Train.
Oh, lots of them. I've seen him on Bonanza. You know, here and there he'll pop up on any of the old ones.
Rawhide, Have Gun Will Travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he played the type. He was usually drunk in all of them. Playing the drunk,
yep.
I mean, you know. So.
He did get to play a werewolf again, a mummified werewolf in the movie Face of the Screaming Werewolf.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
Wasn't his. Well, one of the better ones, no, but yeah.
And he also was in a TV show known as Chief Eagle Shadow in a very short-lived show called Pistols and Petticoats. Now, I've never seen that.
That one I don't remember.
Yeah, neither do I.
An Indian.
Yeah, he played a few times. He played Native Americans in some of the westerns, but yeah, like you said,
mm-hmm.
usually either a tough or a town drunk or something. Now, he was in one of my. I don't know if you. I saw you posted on my Facebook page because I had posted a little Jerry Lewis dancing routine. And I'm not seeing this on IMDb, but I do know for a fact that, here it is. He was in a Jerry Lewis movie. It was one of my favorites with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis called Pardners, which, of course, was a Western comedy.
It was a
and,
Western
And Lon
yeah.
Chaney plays one of the bad guys. A very
yeah,
small
villain.
Role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was pretty much by then taking what he could get, you know. And he just,
yeah,
you know,
I think
you could
so.
See it on his face. His whole life, though, you know, there was a sadness to him. You know, I think that's why he was so effective as Lenny, the pathos, you know?
I think you have something
always,
there. Again, I think that his beginning in life was tough, but he did make the most of it.
He played to his strengths, though, when he was at full, you know.
Yeah, I heard it. There's a site in called Psychobabble that has some facts about Lon Chaney that you may not know, and it did mention that he liked playing roles where he had to cry because he could exercise his acting abilities,
his chops.
You know that's why he had no shortage of that when he was
oh
very
yeah
talented
but he could convey it though. He was, you know, he was a horrible monster, but he was so sorry about it. Sorry if you don't get out of here, I'm going to rip you to shreds, you know. But
yeah.
He warned them, they just never listened.
Well, they used to have dogs appear as the wolves and the Wolfman, and they just were not. They didn't. He liked dogs, and
yeah,
I think dogs knew it. They refused to wrestle with him on camera. So he suggested using Moose, this former police dog that a security guard had over at Universal. And
mm-hmm.
Moose not only wrestled with him convincingly, but he broke his hand.
Oh, my God.
But
he loved dogs,
but,
though. He was like Curly
he
that
was
way,
respectful.
You know?
Well, because maybe. He was a roughhouser when he drank. Chaney did respect anyone who was capable of giving him a good fight. So he fell in love
oh,
with
yeah.
Moose and bought him from the security guard.
Good for you, bro. That's what I say. You got to love him for that.
I read elsewhere where he was on set and somebody was being a little rough on a dog, and he really got upset and threatened to walk off if the person was mean about that. Yeah, that he just didn't care for that. He also, as much as people said, you know, oh, he was a drinker and this and that, and he did terrible things, he did nice things too. He also threatened to walk off of another set when an elderly actor, he felt protective. Of both children and, like, older people.
And animals, yeah.
He said, you either get this guy his own chair to sit down or I'm walking from this film. And they listened to him because it was at a period where Chaney still carried a lot of weight.
He had the power still, yeah.
Yeah, he still had the box office draw.
Yeah,
one of my
Robin
favorite
Williams
films,
was a lot like that.
Yeah.
He made
one of my favorite films
people,
he did.
You know.
One of my favorite films he did in his later in his career was Spider Baby. I liked him as Bruno.
I love that one though, but he got once again he got the pathos in there, you know. And
mm-hmm.
they forced him. They made him sign a contract not to drink, so he didn't get mean. He didn't. He just he was his old self, you know. And he gave, I thought was a wonderful performance. It really
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I like at the very end. There's a scene, if you recall. Where, you know, he had that suitcase with the explosive in it, and he knew that that it was going to go down, right? There's this great scene of him looking back at the other actor and, like, shrugging his shoulders like, oh, well. And I think it was part of that pathos you brought up earlier, and partly just, like, that was that character. Is like, yeah, well, I tried doing my best with these crazy family, but... You know.
Yeah, I raise the baby as best I can. We can't keep covering this up. Just can't.
I know. Well, 66, what would you say your favorite Chaney film is of all time?
Oh, it'd have to be The Wolfman, because that was his. You know what I mean? That was his. But if I had to choose...
It really
like,
was.
Second...
He made it really difficult for anyone to do another werewolf film.
Yeah,
I mean,
they had to do him totally different. It just wasn't, you know, not that character.
There's really very few, if you think about it. There was the Oliver Reed film. There was that real nice one in 1956 called The Werewolf.
That one,
I mean,
like that one.
Yeah. I recently posted
Mexican
it on...
And a few Mexican
werewolves.
Yeah. But never quite... No, not like that.
Mm-hmm. I recently posted a link so you can watch the entire film of The Werewolf on the Erie House page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the TV channel was glitching, so I thought, all right, fine. I'll give you a movie to watch and put it over on Erie House. There's a link on there, and you can watch the whole film.
Good. Cool.
It's one of those I didn't get to see until late in life.
I don't have cable anymore in the way it went.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I never saw it when I was young. It was one of those that got away from me until late in life, so I really got to enjoy it.
Well, you know the part that we didn't get to see that they used to not put on TV was when he's peeping on her with the telescope. You know what I mean? And that was kind of dark.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, because that was never in it when I was a kid. I remember it, every bit of it, you know? And I figured the censors, such, you know,
Oh, they
but
were
I love
so
that part.
Tight-ass back then, yeah.
God, yeah. But he was peeping on her. I'm sorry, but you're a voyeur.
It's really good to hear from you again. I mean, it's been quite a while here, and you are aware that there is also an Erie House Television, correct?
Oh, I found it. Took me a little doing, but I found that sucker.
Because tonight at 7:30, like about a half an hour from now, Weirdness, Really Bad Movie with Face at the Window, followed at 9:30 by Misty Brew with The Bat, starring Vincent Price. And then at 11:30, it's a rebroadcast from earlier today, 3 hours of Superman. There's the old Fleischer/Famous Studios cartoons and some live action Superman with George Reeves mixed in. And that's tonight, 11:30. Oh, yeah, on Erie House Television.
Well,
he
spoke to me. You know what I mean? We were kids.
Who, George? Yeah.
Yeah,
there's another
you know,
tragic story for you.
It is, but you know what? I always wondered when I was small and you didn't realize, you know, what it meant, but why didn't the bullet bounce off? Honestly, you know how kids' minds work.
Know.
I guess what I don't know is why did it bounce off? How did it kill with the gun? You know?
I don't know.
Well, then I
it's one of those mysteries, too.
It's
ruled a suicide, but there's a lot of conspiracy theories. Well, we got
there always is, though.
Seconds left. Easy there. Hold on a second. Take a deep breath. Because we only got a few seconds left. I want to thank the Movie Man for listening live, along with David Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie. Hope you enjoy his show tonight on Erie House Television. So, from both 66 and a half and myself, thank you all for listening to Erie House Radio. We'll be back next week, Saturday at 6:30 Eastern. See you then. Bye-bye. Good luck in prison. There, it's after party time.
Oh, is that it? Oh, so you're still here. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're in the bonus time now. The part that's recorded but not broadcast live. So people that come back in the archives get a little bonus time if you want to continue chatting for a bit.
Sure. So what was with the name change? You just felt like having a change or what?
The partners and I went our separate ways. This is not a good place to discuss it.
No, it's in detail. Life. Things happen. You have your time. People have their time. And then it's over. You know, that's life.
Hey,
so,
Lewis and Martin weren't going to last forever. And even Abbott and Costello broke up for a while.
Nothing changes but change. You know what I mean? There's nothing consistent but changes. So
yeah, that's the only constant.
I'm glad to
change.
Call in. I just have it. My computer's been crappy, and then I called on the phone right away. I'm sorry because I my husband is on the Netflix thing. That's a double-edged sword.
Oh, you got to see Stranger
Things. It takes up my computer.
I mentioned it earlier on the show, but if you got Netflix, you've got to watch Stranger Things. It's really good.
I already saw every one of them. I'm sorry. Yeah, but if you get the chance, watch Deathgasm.
Which one? Hilarious.
Deathgasm.
What's it called?
It's heavy metal horror. It's so funny.
What's it called?
Deathgasm. It involves heavy metal horror. Yeah, Armageddon. Demons. You know, it's a ball. And they attack these demons with a big dildo and some anal beads. You just have to see it.
Okay. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's from New Zealand or something, but it's a good one. It is. It's right up there with Tucker and Dale versus Evil to me, I think. Well worth a look.
Yep.
You really do have to mine through some crap on there. They have so many movies, and so many are not that good.
Yeah, Netflix doesn't seem to show as many old films as they used to.
The old horror?
The old classics. They seem to have a greater bank of them in the past, and it just doesn't seem that way anymore.
Not too many, no. I watched The Exorcist and The Fly and Jaws and a few of those ones, but they don't have much more than that.
No, it
doesn't.
There's
a Hellraiser and a couple, you know. But none of the good Freddies. The Freddies that, well, I like all of them, but, you know, the later ones. It's more of a
Well, you know, I like more like the pre-1970s stuff. Not that I won't watch new stuff, but, I mean, I just prefer some of the older stuff.
Well, me too. I like some of the new stuff. I do find a gem now and then, but, God. Some of them I just can't
I saw The Black Room on Netflix, and I'm like, wow. And I couldn't believe that was one I had never seen, or if I did, I had forgotten all about it.
Yeah, totally trippy one. They pop up now and then.
That was another star-studded cast with Carradine, and Chaney was in that one. It was a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not a great movie, but a good movie. Some of those I like. It's good.
I hate what, you know, some I'll stick with anyway just because I wasted so much time on them. And then I always go, I'll never get that time back now. Why did I sit through it? I, you know, and I hate that my time is valuable now. You know, we got limited time now. We never used to think about time, but I do.
I know.
I'll go find something I have seen that I like. You know what I mean?
I know.
That I know I like it because I've seen it.
I look at things a little differently. I don't know. It's ironic that the less time I have left on Earth, the less of a hurry I'm in anymore for things. I don't know if I'm just satisfied with my life overall in general or what. I mean, I've had bad times like anybody else, but I just don't tend to dwell on them. You know, there's some people,
what is the point?
Something bad will happen or something that they don't approve of happens, and they just go on and on and on about
just
it. And
deal.
I cannot.
Yeah, just deal.
I cannot hang
That's
around
me.
Those kind of people. They bring me down.
I agree. I agree. They suck your psychic energy out. They do. It's like, you know, you better find your little piece of happiness right where you are and not worry even what's going on in the world as a whole, because that'll tear you apart, too. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well,
carve out your little bit of happiness.
You got to blame the news for that. They polarize people and get them all hyped up one way or the other, to the
left,
to the
right,
to the in between.
Fear is a great control device. And that's why I think we love monster movies so much, because we know that fear. You know what I mean? And I enjoy that fear. That's a good fear.
It's a controlled
fear,
and you can shut it off if you want to. Just as long as I feel the same
way
about
the news. And
the
rest of this, it's so overwhelming that, you know, forget it. You know, I don't even want to connect into it. It does you no good, and you're like shoveling shit against the tide with a pitchfork. You know, just forget it. You know, it's not going to work. And dwelling on all the bad stuff either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can understand, you know, why some of them people, I mean, I love them, don't get me wrong, but they will put all this stuff out on Facebook, and then they get these horrible comments, and they wonder why. You know, there's some things you don't, you know, you don't have to put everything out there. Honestly,
no.
or how bad everything, you know what I mean? Because,
well, see, our generation, 66, we knew how to keep from airing our dirty laundry. You know what I mean?
That's
we had the
we
sense to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some things you want to air maybe with a close friend that you talk with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people do. Some people don't even need to do that, but not with the world at large. And you're dealing with the world at large now out there.
Yeah.
And they will take it and say the worst things to you. But you got to consider
the
source are anonymous, basically.
You know the best advice I gave my children? Before you post anything, read it a second time. And the second time you read it, pretend you're someone else. And then decide if you really want to post that.
Do you really think, the world needs to know this?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, because when people get on Facebook and start whining about this and complaining about that, they are revealing exactly who they are. You know?
They are, but they're inviting comment on it. And right,
well,
wrong, or indifferent, you
even
ask
those
for
that,
the comments. Basically, that's why there's a comment section.
Well, even though, well, I think it's stronger the people who don't comment, because they look and they got to shake their heads and go, yeah, okay.
But me, if I got something snarky to say, keep it to yourself. No one cares.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have some words of encouragement or something decent to say.
Such a thing as having fun, too. You got to have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
sometimes
I'll make,
it's someone
I'll make
else
a smart-ass remark to my friends because they know me. You know, they know I do that. But I won't
break
somebody's heart just to be, you know, just to get, you know, some smart-ass thing out there. And people will.
Yeah, no, that's...
Trolls,
that's
we call them,
good.
You know.
Well, you know, and this is why, like, again, there's some people that'll just shred Lon Chaney Jr. apart about the drinking and stuff like that. And it's like, you know what? The guy brought a lot of joy to the world.
Yeah.
You know, he had
his
demons, he had his reason.
He had his demons, we all do, but don't be judging. Why does anybody be judging? That's what gets me. And the ones
that
are talking about him drinking
so much
probably
having
a martini.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to judge, but nobody wants to be judged. They want to be the judge.
Exactly. And they feel, I don't know if it's in our DNA or what, it's tribal, that they want to tear other people down that they consider not us, you know, them.
Well, you know what, it's probably
a
lot like, well, here, let's use horror as an example, or slapstick comedy as an example. Why do we watch them? Because we're glad that didn't happen to us.
Exactly.
And if you, I guess some people feel if you tear someone else down, that elevates themselves, and it doesn't. It doesn't at all, because people who know better look and go, yeah, this guy's just trying to build himself up. You know, think back to high school. Think back to high school.
It's
all
exactly,
the popular kids.
Do you notice it doesn't change?
Yeah, he doesn't.
Around the water cooler, wherever they're at.
The popular
they
kids,
just, that's the
oh,
same
they sneer and look down at people. See, and I used to hang around the nerds and the geeks. I guess, I don't know, maybe I had a little ego issue, too. I never felt as though I was one of them, but I probably was. But I felt for those people. I hung around them. They were the coolest people. And look at now, geeks are the ones who run the show.
Ruling the world. Yeah.
You know, with the technology and everything. And God bless them, you know. And there's a great saying there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Yep.
One twist of fate and everything you care about or love could be taken away from you. So you got to watch how you treat people and be consistent.
Yeah, it's the same people you step on going up. You might have to cross back again when you go down. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
And they're there to push you on.
And I have a sneaking suspicion you're like me, 66. You've had your ups and you've had your downs.
You don't get our age without. You know what I mean? You don't get to be ripe. Full cooked.
Yeah,
some
people are lucky and some people
life.
Are cursed, though. Think about it. Some people are very lucky and never seem to have a down, and some people seem like they're poor things are cursed and nothing goes their way. But
like
a lot of it's attitude,
for me, but
too.
Then, you know, when it comes right down to the heart of you don't get what you want, but you get what you need.
Yeah. You know, I've known some people cry, oh, you don't know the challenges I've had. No, but I've known people who have. I've known a woman, her husband committed suicide. She has a terrible disease, but she's one of the most cheerful, loving people you'll ever meet. I knew another girl, had terrible birth defects, had all these problems, but she refused to go on disability. She wanted to work. She wanted to control as much of her own destiny as she could by doing things the right way, by going to work. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to hear people whining.
I hear you. I figure, we're drugged down enough by life. You don't have to drug us down any further. You know, I empathize with everyone.
Yeah.
But
and that's the other thing. When you try to be happy all the time, people get suspicious, like you have this incredible luck or whatever. Yeah, I have the luck to have the sense to not be down all the time.
Thank you.
Because
what is the point? How do you joke when this shit's going on? Ah, even one time my house was burning and I was out in the driveway. And I was actually joking with someone and they go, how can you laugh at time like this? I said, if I cried, would the house stop burning? She just looked at me. There you go. Then I'm going to enjoy it.
There you go.
And I snuck in the back door, out the fireman seeing me in the room that wasn't burning, and managed to find my weed box. So hallelujah.
Got to get the important stuff. With about 1 minute to go, 66, we only have 1 minute to go. I'll share a quick personal story with you since you shared that with me. I was kind of a crazy kid when I was young. I was busy being young, let's just say that. And you could say, I had terrible luck. I had these bad accidents. I mean, one time I had my jaws wired shut for 6 months. I don't want to say I've broken as many as Evel Knievel, but sometimes it felt like it. From motorcycle and car accidents and things like that. But number one, I brought a lot of that on myself. Some of the accidents were not my fault, but some of them I put myself in places I maybe shouldn't have been. But every time I walked away from them, you know what my first reaction was? To laugh hysterically. Because number one, that's my coping mechanism.
I'm alive.
Exactly. Missed me again, Reaper. Ha, 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 ha.
I know exactly what you're saying.
And not in a cocky way. It's just that, you know, there's a force greater than you that decided it wasn't my time yet.
It's not your time.
That's right. I'll come when the man says.
You don't know. I can't even go into some of the ones because I'm not sure.
With all that being said, we
only
got a few seconds left, 66. So with that being said, best of luck to all of us, and we'll see you next time. Here on Erie House Radio. Say bye-bye.
Bye, Dale.
Bye. Thank you for calling. See you next time.